This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode of Ready or Not is brought to you by La La Noon, a children's store founded by two mothers offering a range of local, sustainable brands with a focus on well-made, timeless and stylish clothing, toys and gifts. From brands like Oliella to The Wholesome Store to Len Label, you'll find one-of-a-kind quality pieces that can be played with and worn again and again and then passed on to loved ones. Shop their thoughtful edit now at lalanoon.com.au.
She really picked her battles.
I wouldn't worry about how messy our bedrooms were, but the kitchen had to be tidy. I remember feeling like a fish out of water. I'm not smart enough. I'm not old enough. Why am I here? In the field of law, sometimes you can confuse success with servicing clients immediately and being there whenever they need. I certainly got some confidence coming out of motherhood in so many other things. It's like you work hard, you become an expert. You succeed. What is wrong with me? Why can't I get it? Failing as a parent, everyone else can do it. Why can't I?
Olivia Mione always knew that her mum was an inspiration. But when she stepped into motherhood herself, she appreciated her even more. Her mum was single. She worked full time. She made a career when she was 40. And Olivia never felt like she was left to the wayside. In fact, she never felt like she was anything but loved. And as a lawyer, Olivia was always worried about how she'd make work work alongside motherhood. It wasn't necessarily the career stuff. More so, she was worried about how she'd be able to dedicate herself to family life while navigating a demanding job. But as she's here to tell you, working 5 days a week doesn't mean she has no time with or for her daughter. Here, we talk about the plot twist that was taking on a new role while on parental leave that would lead her back to the workforce 5 days a week and see her husband reducing his paid work schedule. Why being a full-time working parent doesn't mean you love your kids any less. And how motherhood has influenced her relationship with imposter syndrome and confidence for the better. I'm Lucinda. This is Ready or Not, and here is the kind and clever Olivia Mione. Olivia, you were brought up by a single mum who made a career a little bit later in the piece. Tell us about, firstly, what you recall now about your mum. And I'm also really interested to know, I know obviously from our conversations that you really appreciate and respect what she did. What did you appreciate and respect at the time? And what has come with the hindsight of entering motherhood yourself?
Yeah, good question. So my mum's professional working mum worked full-time, you know, as long as I can remember. I had three kids really young. So I reckon, I didn't ask her, but I think around 30 she had me, or maybe slightly older, but my two brothers are 6 and 8 years older than me. And we moved to Hong Kong when I was 4, and she studied her MBA while we were in an apartment with the five of us. And just so impressive to have the drive to, you know, start your career after having a family. I've got one daughter, but she had three kids, and just I can't even imagine. At the time, I was like always in awe of, you know, her drive and how much she was so selfless to all of us and gave so much time. I don't know where she, you know, that magic word time, I don't know where she found it. Yeah, I always remember feeling, you know, really loved and cared for, and she really tried to say yes to as many opportunities for us as possible. So I did, you know, appreciate it then, and I've always been inspired by her. But yeah, coming into motherhood certainly pretty much reminded her daily, if not weekly, just how did you do it, Mum? Because give me the magic sauce. I do not have it.
What does she say when you asked her how she did it? I want to know. How did she study with three kids?
I know, yeah. And MBA is not easy to do. And, you know, you want to do well so that you can get good job prospects. She just said, you just keep going. You keep pushing. And, yeah, it's just when you're in a situation, I think you kind of are forced to just make the best of it. And yeah, I'm so proud of her and so thankful for all of the opportunities. So yeah, she did her MBA and then came back to Australia and is just dominating. She's just an amazing businesswoman in a time when women probably had it. I mean, we've still got it really hard, but it was very male dominated in corporate Australia then, trying to prove yourself. Yeah, just an incredibly driven professional lady. So yeah, I'm very lucky to have grown up with her as a role model. And I think the more, you know, having reflected starting this interview, I think it has really shaped how I've gone about certain decisions in my career. And I hadn't fully appreciated that until I actually was reflecting on what she had done for me. So yeah, absolutely amazing. And, you know, I think looking back, she really picked her battles. So, you know, wouldn't worry about how messy our bedrooms were, but, you know, the kitchen had to be tidy. And that's totally fair enough because you only are one person and you can only do so much. So she was very strategic in that way.
So you learned some good lessons early of what matters, glass balls, plastic balls, all of that sort of stuff.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think it's been a steep learning curve for me with that. But at the same time, I do think I'm pretty good at the glass ball, plastic ball situation. Yeah. And that's probably where I picked it up over time. Yeah.
Yeah. And so before we even get to what your career life looked like before you had your daughter, India, I want to know how much what you saw with your mum influenced. You mentioned that it did sort of inspire career decisions. How much did you think about the motherhood meets career piece? Were you working towards something with the idea of knowing that you wanted to then integrate motherhood into your titles?
Yeah, so I always wanted to be a mum. I knew that. And when I chose being a lawyer as a career path, I knew in a sense what I was signing up for in terms of quite a demanding career. Not that other careers aren't demanding, but you just kind of, there is,
yeah,
an
like billing
of
every 6 minutes, not to, yeah, not to be stressful or anything. My God, I don't know how you do it.
But yeah, it's a pretty stressful environment at times. And so I think the biggest concern for me around that was less around how I would make my career work, because lawyers are always going to be in demand. It was more around how I was ever going to fit a family and give my family the time and energy that they deserve. So it was really coming at it from that aspect. You know, I worked really, really hard before, and I did kind of, I think one of your other guests said, you know, you're working so hard trying to make a particular title before you have kids, which is somewhat artificial, but we all seem to do it. And I was certainly like that, you know, work hard, work hard, work hard before having kids. But yeah, my biggest concern was really, how am I going to find the time to spend with my family? Yeah, so definitely had those thoughts leading up. It's kind of constant. I think you've had similar in terms of, you know,
definitely. It's something I was always thinking of. It's interesting meeting people that are the opposite, because I assumed that anyone who ends up being a mum worried about that, whereas some people, it just didn't really cross their mind until it happened, which I sort of think is good in a way, because you're going to have to move through it anyway. It's probably better to not be like you and I and just be like, how the fuck is this going, yeah, to work? Yeah. But always with the best of intentions. So then let's talk about your career pre-India. You obviously worked really hard. You had that idea of getting to this place. What did that place end up looking like?
Yeah, so I studied for 6 years and then got the traditional grad position in big law firm.
Can I just ask, as someone whose career has been so different to that and so low-key in a lot of ways, what's it like walking into day one of a law firm, having just done your master's? You're walking into this environment where there's big egos, very smart people, probably a lot of very confident people and really hard workers. What does that feel like?
Oh, I remember feeling like a fish out of water. I was like, I'm not smart enough. You know, I'm not old enough. Why am I here? Kind of thing. It was a real wake-up call and something that I really had to work through. I am smart enough. I did the study. I can do this. But wow, like some really impressive people walking around. And yeah, it's very intimidating. I think it took me a good year to really feel like I had a place in the world in that space. And even, I mean, every day you come across these people and you're just like, wow, I never would have thought that way. And I mean, everyone thinks differently, but when you're in that kind of field where it is like you're interpreting the law or a contract, you can learn from these people. And so, yeah, I was really lucky to be surrounded by smart people, but then I also found mentors that were willing to teach me their ways and help me become more settled and back myself and my knowledge. So yeah, it's a pretty intimidating environment. If you're a confident person, that's great. But other people, it can take some time, like me.
And so what did then climbing the corporate ladder look like for you?
Yeah, so I always knew I didn't want to be a partner at a law firm. I knew that just wouldn't work with me wanting to be a really involved parent. Not that partners can't be involved parents. I just knew that for me, I wouldn't have the energy to do it all in that role. And so I did, worked really hard, got 5 years through in the law firm. And I'm not sure, sorry if you already know this, but it's quite regimented. You do 4 years, you get this title, you get, and then as you get more senior, yes, it becomes a bit more blurred, yeah. But it's quite regimented in terms of your titles.
What is that title that you get after 4 years? Because I really know nothing besides my uncle, who was apparently a very well-known QC. I'll ask you offline if you know him. But besides that, I know nothing, literally nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, so different law firms do it differently, but, you know, you're a grad until you get admitted as a solicitor, and then you're a solicitor, and then you do another 4 years, and then you become senior associate. And that's a pretty significant milestone, I think, in lawyers' careers. I actually left before becoming senior associate for my own personal reasons, but that's generally the step. And then there are a couple of different steps between there and partner. Yeah. So for me, it was just about getting as much exposure to different things so that I would be set up to perform well in-house role, which is what I really wanted to get into because of the kind of work-life balance.
Yeah. So does that tend to be a better avenue for work-life balance as opposed to working at the big law firms where I think you are like billing your time every 6 minutes and all those sorts of things, to then move into more of a legal counsel role within a private company? Does that tend to be, I guess, where there's more flexibility?
I think every lawyer would give a different answer, slightly different answer depending on their experience at a law firm and in-house, but that has been my experience. At least the people around you in a large corporate in Australia, there's slightly more leeway. People generally have families or are caring for their elderly parents, or they've got somewhere else to be.
Yes.
And so there's probably a bit more understanding when you're in a law firm. It's not that those people don't have those obligations or responsibilities, but at times you have to kind of hide it and the client comes first. So it's just that shift. So that has been certainly my experience, but
yeah,
it can vary for people.
So you study really hard, you work really hard, you start to establish yourself in your career. And then at some stage, the idea of motherhood becomes tangible. It becomes real. You actually want to start trying. How are you feeling then about career? So ready to become a mum that you sort of just tell yourself it will work out? Or are you very hesitant and nervous to start trying to conceive?
So I'm a pretty planned person. So I left my law firm job to go in-house to give myself enough time to become established in that role so that then I can go on maternity leave. So it was quite planned and very lucky that I had those opportunities that I could do that. And yeah, so at the time that I was having those discussions with my husband, we felt ready and I felt well settled in the role and as though people respected me in the role. So I was comfortable that if I was to get pregnant at that point in time, everything would be okay. Whereas if I was at the law firm, I would be so anxious about how I would make that work. Yeah.
And so pregnancy came easy for you. And before we started recording, you said how, you know people who have had the exact opposite experience and you're very mindful. what was it like? Because I still think you're allowed to be shocked by it happening quickly when you're perhaps not expecting it to, or you might have been elated, or it might have been a mixture. How were you feeling then when it became real?
Yeah, so it all did happen quite quickly. Pretty lucky in that respect. And yeah, I would acknowledge people out there that are desperate and ready, and it's just not happening for them, because my heart just aches for them. But yeah, we were shocked slash so excited. Just we were both, yeah, ready. We've got beautiful nieces and nephews, and yeah, just so excited at the prospect. Yeah. And then, you know, 9 months is a long time, but it's also a short time. So, you know, at times you're like, oh, this is, you know, I just want to meet them, but also life is about to change forever. So kind of enjoying the spontaneity of life before she came.
Yep. Spontaneity, that word does not exist in my vocabulary at the moment. Hopefully one day again. How did you feel during pregnancy? Did you feel okay? Was navigating work alongside growing this human okay for you? Were you sick? How are you feeling?
Yeah, so I think in the field of law, sometimes you can confuse success with servicing clients immediately and being there whenever they need. And so, you know, I was pretty lucky that up till then I was able to drop everything and my body didn't necessarily govern my decisions. But then, you know, falling pregnant, you know, you'd be so exhausted in the afternoon. You know, you want to go to bed at six, like just fatigue like nothing else. And so I was lucky that my role coming at sort of out of the COVID lockdowns, there was still a lot of flexibility around working from home. So I'd literally, you know, shut the laptop, roll onto bed, go to bed. Very lucky that I could have
that commute was good.
Yeah, that's it. Obviously very lucky to have that flexibility, but yeah, gosh, the fatigue is next level. So
yeah,
it also reminded me that my work was still great, even though I wasn't always online and always available. Clients were still happy. So I think it was a really good reminder that you can still be good at your job and take just a slight step back.
Yeah. Did that then sort of prepare you for feeling a little bit better about the return to work perhaps?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you get an immense, I certainly got some confidence coming out of motherhood, and also, you know, just from learning what my mum went through, that it all does work out in the end. It may not look exactly how you want it, but it does work out. And so, yeah, you just get that confidence that you can do it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to look perfect, but you make it
work it out.
Yeah.
And so you're a lawyer, you're a planner, as you said. What does preparing for maternity leave look like for you?
Yeah, I really, you know, I mentioned I had nieces and nephews, but I still just didn't really, it was a bit of a fear of the unknown. Didn't really know how it was all going to go, but also just naively so excited for the break. I really couldn't wait for a change in pace. Little did I know what was coming.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I wasn't too anxious or worried. It was more just, wow, like this is going to be new and chaotic. Yeah. Having known what I've been through now, I'd probably be more nervous. Yeah.
So do you think the planning side to you more came out in your paid work and less in preparing for what motherhood might look like? I mean, it is hard to prepare for when you've never done it. So we do have to give ourselves some grace there.
I think that's right. I think that's right, Lucinda. It was more making sure my career was at a stage where I felt in control.
Yeah. Oh, control. That's another interesting word in motherhood, isn't it?
Yeah.
You lose all sense of that.
Indeed.
And so then you meet your baby, India. What are the early days of motherhood like?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Just so elated. Just obsessed, absolutely obsessed with her. Admittedly, you know, we had some challenges with breastfeeding, which was the first lesson around control, I guess, and how it's, you know, it requires you know, the baby needs to be doing its thing, your body needs to be doing its thing, and there's just so many factors to it. I mean, we were lucky enough to eventually get there, but I actually found that so much harder than I ever expected. You know, you're led to believe it's like this beautiful, natural easy thing. So far from it. It really is a full-time job in itself.
Do you think that played on you? Perhaps not more so, but I think people that achieve lots of things in life, like you go off and you get a master's of law, I imagine you have your master's, and then you go off and you work for these impressive firms and your CV looks really good and you've achieved a lot. Do you think it's hard to then do something that's so hard to achieve just by putting hard work into it?
So much. You've hit the nail on the head. Like, you know, in so many other things, it's like you work hard, you become an expert, you succeed. In motherhood, it's like no matter how much effort you put in or the time it takes, the outcome is just not at all correlated.
Yes.
So that is probably the one thing that I just could not wrap my head around. Sleep was another big issue for us. Very unsettled baby. Like, wouldn't even go in the bassinet of the pram at all.
Speaking of unsettled babies, Liv, I'm just going to do this live on the record. I think she's starting to make so much noise that I might put her on my boob. Stay with me.
Worries. No worries.
You can keep telling us the story, but just for anyone at home, that's what's happening in the background.
Yes. So, yeah, she was just a very unsettled baby, and I'd be like reading all the different sleep guides and all the sleep experts on Instagram, and it probably took me a good 6 months to realize this chick is not, you know, she is not your regular baby that you follow the sleep guide and it works. Like, she's just riding.
She's got her own thing going on.
Yeah. And just to let go and accept that she'll get it in her own time was so hard, because I was like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I get it? You know, failing as a parent, this is just, everyone else can do it. Why can't I? You know, all those intrusive thoughts that come in when you're tired and have high expectations of yourself when it's just completely out of your control. It's so funny looking back, but it really is such a hard time. And I mean, look, I could not wait to get on maternity leave. Like, I slammed the laptop down. I was ready for a change, but it's just been the most humbling experience. Yes. And yeah, hard work is definitely not equal, you know, a happy baby. Sometimes they're just, they are what they are. Yeah.
You've brought up two more. You've like almost hit the nail on the head with every sort of phrase you've brought up in terms of what I think early motherhood is like. The other two words or phrases that you just brought up were accepting and letting go. Do you think that was sort of a 6 month project for you? Do you think this first 6 months of her life were sort of learning how to accept the new norms of what it's like to be a parent versus someone in the paid workforce?
Yeah, I get so. One thing I did learn as a junior lawyer was you're going to make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes, and you have to let go and move on very quickly. And you're still a great lawyer. You're still a great person. And so I did have that confidence in the back of my mind that I would be able to let go. I suppose the frustrating thing for me was knowing, well, how do I fix this? You know, if I can let go, there must be a way to fix it. And there just wasn't. And so not being able to do anything about it was, I could accept the fact that she was, you know, screaming and whatever, but just having to ride it out and having that patience, it's not something that I've previously done well at. Yeah, it's just a journey, isn't it? Like, I'm still learning patience with the tantrums that are starting and all of that good stuff. So it is just a constant evolution of all of us, but in the best way possible. And, you know, just seeing the growth of both me and my husband in being patient and acknowledging that there's nothing we can do I'm really proud of us for doing that.
It really is a work in progress. So as you said, you shut that laptop down, you were ready. In between the moments of elation and the enduring love that you obviously had from day one with your daughter, was there feelings of, oh my God, I can't believe how much I was looking forward to mat leave. This is really hard.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I was like, what was I thinking? It, look, it was nice not to use my brain or use it in a different way, like give it a bit of a rest, I suppose. But yeah, wow. So glad I didn't know what was coming because I just had these 2 weeks of bliss where I was just living my best life. Yeah. Very heavily pregnant. But yeah, it's nothing can prepare you. But it's just the best bonding time and it's beautiful as well. So
yeah, there's a lot of emotions that happen in those early days and probably forever, which I'm sure we'll both learn as we go through this. I'm only a little bit further ahead in the journey than you. So you're gearing up for the return to paid work, but you take a new job. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I suppose to preface, I wasn't unhappy in my job. You know, it was a great job and I was lucky to have it. So this was an in-house role, but I kind of always had in the back of my mind, gee, it would be nice to work at a large corporate in Australia and maybe a bank or financial institution where, you know, you just like have all of these opportunities to move and learn from different people. And yeah, this job opportunity came up and a friend actually messaged me the LinkedIn ad. I should say this is about 3 or 2 months before I was planning on going back to work anyway.
And how old's India at this stage? Just for a bit of more context.
6 months, 7 months. Yes, I was always planning on going back around that 9-10 month mark, thinking I'd go back part-time, 3 days a week, maybe ramp up to 4 after a few months. Yeah, this job opportunity came up and it turns out I knew someone in the team that it was in and it was just all meant to be. The one thing, though, was it was full-time. And when I decided to take the interview, I was like, well, just interview. What could possibly go wrong? X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And
just quickly on that, do you think you approached that interview a little bit differently, having just been through this huge experience of motherhood? Like, do you think you went to it with a little less pressure that perhaps you would have arrived at other job interviews under?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. Because, you know, I already had a great job and it was just a cherry on top. It was a job that I'd always wanted. But if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. There's other jobs out there and I've got enough to worry about. I got really lucky. My now boss, I was very open that I was on maternity leave because I think you can't hide that. You know, if you're starting a job back from maternity leave, first of all, your brain is mush. And second of all, you just know what's coming, like childcare sicknesses, just all the things that come with transitioning back to work. And so I was very open about that. And the response was, couldn't care less, which was amazing because, you know, having someone that was, didn't mind. And I think he knew what that comes with.
Yeah. Was he a dad himself? Because they don't always have to be parents, but obviously sometimes it can help.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that did help. So having that backing and the understanding, I was pretty open about the expectations initially because I was very nervous just about how it was all going to play out. I'd seen what childcare sickness can do to families, particularly in those first few months. So, you know, my expectations were on the floor and anything above that was a win. And I think that is the best way of looking at it because it is brutal for anyone. There's no sugarcoating it. It really is brutal. It's the best thing. They love childcare, but the sickness, the initial, it's just full on and you can't plan for it being a planner. So in the past, when I had an important meeting or an important day at work, I'd be able to get a good night's sleep the night before and, you know, really get in the mental zone of feeling prepared. You might not even be able to go to that meeting, let alone feeling prepared, or
you might not even go to sleep the night before.
exactly. And just having to let go of control, is been a journey. But so lucky to have a really supportive workplace.
And so you accept this job, and I think it's full time from the get go, which wasn't your initial plan, as you just mentioned. And your husband is a very willing dad. I don't know how else to term that yet because we never say mums are willing mums, but for the lack of better terminology, that's what we'll say. And he eventually goes down to part-time, which I think is 4 days, but there's a period there where you're both working full-time. Tell us about all of that, but firstly about that period of you both working full-time. What did your childcare arrangement look like and how did you actually get out the door each day and what did he do versus what you did, all of those nitty-gritty details?
Yeah. So you're right. There was a period of three. So he's a school teacher. So we just had to get through 12 weeks of the overlap time when we were both working full-time. Extremely lucky to have family help us one day a week. And then we actually hired a nanny. And it was only for that kind of period up till Christmas. We knew for us it wasn't going to be a permanent thing, but it was the best decision that we've made. Just having 2 days a week, you know, between the family help and the nanny, where we could guarantee we would both be at work and not have to worry if Indy was sick that she wouldn't be looked after, you know, by someone that we really care about. That really, really helped. So, you know, very privileged and lucky to have been able to do that. But honestly, that was a huge part of how we made it work. And then we kind of just, tag teamed between days off as we needed, but we staggered it. So, you know, family help and nanny and then a day or two of daycare and then daycare at the end. And that was actually really, really good. Because if you've got a full string of daycare days together, I mean, not everyone can plan it like this. And this was pure fluke. Like, this was not intentional, but if I would do it again, I'd do it again the same so that she could have a break from daycare and get over, you know, if it was a short sickness, at least there was a chance she could get back by the Friday. Yeah. So that was really, really good. So got through it somehow. The sheer chaos of managing a household, I think mentally I was like, doesn't matter how dire it is, we've only got 12 weeks to get through.
Yes.
Which is a very different proposition, like, to people that both working parents work full time. Incredible. Like, just,
I don't
mentally
know how. Like, we say this, like, I'm saying, how do you get through the first 3 months? And I do still think it's amazing, but we're acting like this doesn't happen. Whereas, for some people, the reality, it's just incredible.
Yeah. So, and the other thing is, I would say that I probably had a misconception around full-time parents and that you would never see your kids, but you get so much time with them, you know, in the mornings.
You do, don't you? The mornings and the nights, there's still a lot of hours there to bond.
Like, that's got me through. And we got there. It was character building and relationship building. And then we had this beautiful summer where my husband was off work and he could, you know, help with everything around the house. And I'm so lucky that he is willing to help and just get involved. So that's been fantastic.
And then, so he drops down to 4 days. Two questions here. One is, I think in the teaching field, maybe they'd be a bit more sympathetic and open to that, and it wouldn't be so much of sort of an old boys club of like, gee, the dad's going down to 4 days. So I'm assuming that that was a pretty sort of well-received proposition, but tell me if I'm wrong there. And then secondly, what did he learn about what you may have gone through during maternity leave, and what perhaps did he pick up off your mental load that you wore in the first 9 months from being the person that took parental leave? Tell us about all of that.
Yeah, look, I was probably also thinking the same as you, you know, surely this would be pretty, not easy, but easier than perhaps other fields to go down 4 days because you're literally just teaching fewer classes. And from all accounts, you know, it went relatively smoothly. So very lucky that we got that tick, because that was probably quite a big decision in terms of me taking on this role. I really didn't know how I was going to do it if we were both full time. So that was fantastic. And then, when it all happened, I just remember, I don't remember exactly the timing, but there was this moment where he was taking our daughter to swimming and he was like, gee, there's a bit involved, isn't there, to like get out the door for an activity. Yeah, that realization of like everything that you need to get out the door. And I think that was a huge moment. And now he'll be like, you know, if we're going to have a, oh, have you packed toys? Like, what toys do you want to take? And, you know, he'll remind me. And it's so, so good. And I think he is just thriving on having that day without me there. Because, first of all, I think initially I was struggling to relinquish that control because, you know, you probably are a bit more efficient at things, but you need to let them make mistakes that you made in the,
yes,
you know, on maternity leave when they weren't around, to learn what the best way of doing things are, what our daughter likes, doesn't like, that sort of thing. The other thing is, our daughter's really got a preference for me at the moment. So having that day, just the two of them, is lovely, because when I'm not around, she's fine. But when I'm around, she just wants to hang out with me. Yeah. So that's been really nice for them to build our relationship too.
And a few of the mums that I've interviewed on this podcast have mentioned, for the dads that are perhaps a bit more progressive and do some of that care during the work week, they've said things along the lines that the dad will get funny looks at the playground from some other mums, or be treated a little bit differently as though he's hitting on a mum if he chats to a mum at a playground. Has your husband run into anything like that?
Yeah, not really, without sounding really sick. So for toddlers get bruises and that sort of thing, and just from, like,
literally just existing, just
things. The poor thing, he was stressed about taking her to the playground because he was like, oh God, what are people going to think that I'm doing? Which is a horrible thought to be having, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's very conscious, yes, of it. I think also being a teacher, you are just conscious of child safety because it's such an important issue in his role. But in terms of other mums and that sort of thing, I mean, he's so friendly and so, like, he just loves it. So I think he probably just shrugs it off if it has happened. He definitely hasn't told me. Yeah.
And so you've said to me over email, and I think you sort of also touched on it during this conversation, maybe not with these exact words, but you mentioned that you've always experienced imposter syndrome, or you've always had a sense of imposter syndrome. What changed from becoming a mum? Because we do sometimes, I don't know, maybe we realize what we're capable of, or we've learned different skills, or for whatever reason, maybe the world just looks a bit different to us because we've been through this different experience that we hadn't before. What ways has imposter syndrome changed shape for you, or maybe reduced?
Yeah, I think probably it's an element of just not having time to get in your head about it.
Yes.
You just don't have the mental capacity to be worrying about it. Probably I kind of, there's two elements of the confidence in paid work for me. One is the confidence to back yourself in taking a role. Just, it will work out. I've always had this innate, if you take the role, you'll figure it out, and you're capable enough to prove yourself. And I think that probably comes from mum, that seeing her work it out, and more than work it out, like, absolutely dominate. But it's the imposter syndrome really shows up in the day-to-day decision-making and work, and, oh, someone more senior would have done it this way. But the time factor has helped me, I think, just not worry about it
anymore. Not give it airtime almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've also touched on this very briefly in the respect of the time that you expected to have with your child when you went full time. But I think coupled with that is that a mum wanting to work full time doesn't really care as much about motherhood. Why do you think that still exists? And how have you talked? I mean, you know that you care about motherhood, then you care about your child. But if there's been any self-talk for the opposite of that, how have you worked through that? And I guess cemented for yourself that working full-time doesn't mean you don't care about these things.
Yeah, I think for me, it's been important for me to take this role and prove to other people that you can do it and not be a mum that's never around. So it's kind of that element of, like, let's prove society wrong. Yeah. Yes. Having said that, it probably was a bit of a misconception, like, from me, pre-kids and talking to people that didn't have kids thinking that way. But when you do have kids, you realize how much other time you get to spend with them. And there's probably that element of empathy and understanding that I didn't have, and I wish I had, before I had our daughter. So it's really bad, isn't it? Like, how judgy, you know, I was of people, and I just I wish I could take it all back, because it's like, wow, you know, however you're making it work, it's impressive. And
I couldn't
amazing.
Agree more. You just, it's funny, isn't it? I remember one day even saying to my manager, and I genuinely didn't mean it like this, but she told me that her child was home and unwell, and her husband and her actually worked in the same team together. Like, they worked at the same organization, and the dad was home with the child that day. And she came in and she was a bit flustered, and she's like, oh, he's sick. And I was like, oh, and they, you know, get really needy with their mum, or they really need their mum when they're like that. And I didn't mean in the way that she should be home with her child. I meant, I feel bad for you because it must have been hard to get out of the door. But she goes to me, well, he's with his dad, so he'll be right. And I remember in that moment being like, the way you have worded that is terrible, because I sounded like I was saying, oh, and your child really needs your mum, and here you are at work. So it's amazing the like ways that you sort of cringe at what you either thought or said previously.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So lucky that I haven't come across, well, at least overt, people haven't said it to my face if they're thinking it. I hope that I'm not, you know, a committed mum or anything, but certainly got some oh wows from various people. But I think it's more like an oh wow, how are you doing it?
Yes.
As opposed to a like judgmental thing. Yeah. So I'm glad that I took the role and can show my friends and other people that it can be done, and that you're not necessarily like, I would love to be home with India more, but it's just that fine balance. And I do get a lot of time with her. I am pretty picky on weekends with what activities we do, because I obviously want to be with her on the weekends. So,
and do you work from home sometimes, which I guess sort of reduces commutes, et cetera, right? So is that, do you think, what makes it possible for you to do 5 days of paid work, that you have flexibility of office and home time?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I work from home half the week, and yeah. I'm very lucky to do that. My yeah. God, I constantly am like, how did mums do it back? Like,
how did they do it? How did they do it going into an office 5 days a week?
Yeah.
It makes my mind chaotic just thinking about it. Liv, I've loved learning about your experience working full-time and mothering full-time, because as we know, that is a 24/7 job. You have had an incredible role model in your mother, and she's taught you a lot. What's the number one lesson you'd love to teach your daughter?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and don't really know where to begin, but I think what I've landed on is surrounding yourself with people who inspire you to be better. That is such a powerful thing. And it's, you know, I've realized that through reflecting on what my mum has done for me and how inspiring she's been. And then just also my friends, who are all incredible women, and no matter what they're doing in their career or as a mum, they've got so much to bring to the table. And so, you know, just that power of surrounding yourself by driven and inspiring people. It doesn't have to be women, so I don't know why I'm just leaving it to women. You know, anyone can be so important in shaping who you are and who you want to be.
That's a great answer to end with. And as we can see, Posey is getting more and more unsettled by the moment. You've done very well to answer these questions with a baby on my lap for half of this interview, just sort of shaking away. Thank you so much for being here today.
No worries, Lucinda. It's been a pleasure. Well done getting through it with Posey.
Thanks for listening to Ready or Not. If you liked the show, please tell your friends, subscribe, or write a review. You can also find us on Instagram at readyornot.pod. That's it for today. We'll see you next time.